If you would turn with me to the passage that we read in the second epistle of Peter and chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read verse 13. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 13. Yea, I think it meet. I think it is right. As long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And we thought this morning about remembrance and remembering and reflecting. And Peter writes to his people today. When he wrote his letter, he speaks to us today. And he thought it was appropriate and right that he should write to the people, write to his people to stir them up. And my subject this morning, very briefly, the time we have together, is stirring up zeal. Because it's so important that we are zealous for the Lord in the time that we have upon this earth. Well, I don't know what you would do if you were asked, if you were told that this was your last day upon the earth, or if somebody said to you, tomorrow is the last day that you will live, how would you use your time? And some of you will know the MP who was recently murdered in his constituency, it may even been your MP. Down there in Rayleigh. And I don't suppose he imagined for a moment that the day he woke up that day would be his last upon this earth. And I wonder what we would do. Many things probably go through your mind about what you would do if it was to be your last day on earth tomorrow. Well, Peter is coming to the end of his life. He knows that. And in verse 14 of the chapter, he tells us that, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. So he is aware that he will soon depart from this world to the next. He will soon slip into eternity. The lights of this world will be off and the lights of the next will come on. And he uses that time to write to his believers, his fellow believers, to stir them up. That was his priority. Knowing that surely I will be departing from this world, I write to you. To stir you up, to stir up zeal in you by putting you in remembrance. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Peter simply has to put us in remembrance. He put his people in remembrance and he puts us, the Lord puts us in remembrance today because we can so easily forget. And we hear that phrase, don't we? Lest we forget. We think that about wars, but lest we forget. All that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, lest we forget all that he is doing for us, lest we forget what he will do for us, Peter puts us in remembrance. And it's so important that we have ourselves in remembrance of all of these things because they are so important to us. Well, this word to stir up means to arouse. To arouse completely. And I just want to read one or two scriptures to you. You don't need to turn to them, but it will give you a sense of the word. And we have it here as a compound word, but the root word is used many times in the New Testament. We have an example here, Joseph, when he was being spoken to in a dream about the birth of the Lord Jesus. Joseph, we read, being raised from sleep. That word raised, stirred up from sleep, did as the angel had bidden him and took unto him his wife. One more example for you in the Gospel of Luke and chapter 8 and verse 24. The Lord Jesus Christ is asleep in the ship and they came to him and awoke him saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose. He was stirred up as it were. He arose and rebuked the wind. And the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And we have it related to the sea itself in the Gospel of John, and chapter 6, and verse 18. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. And so the agitation of the sea is also described by this word to stir up. And it really means to arouse. And the Lord Jesus Christ would one day be raised from the dead. And so We can have it to mean waking up from sleep or raising from the dead or as the sea, as a stormy, agitated sea. We have this word. So we have the sense of what it means to us, to be aroused and to be stirred up. And that's what Peter aimed to do. He wants to agitate us. You know that word agitate? It can be a negative word. It's usually a negative word, isn't it? A bit like provoke, usually a negative context to that word. And yet, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we can provoke each other. We agitate each other to good works. And the word of God should stir us up. It should agitate us to good works. And how often we can gloss over it, how often it doesn't make the impact that it should, because our hearts aren't prepared to hear it, and we don't take seriously enough the reminders that we have in it. And so we have the Epistle of Peter, so precious to us. And I just want to, by way of extension, just think about some of the verses from verse 5 of this chapter, because Peter is putting them in remembrance. And he said, I'm writing to you to put you in remembrance. And we need to be reminded that we need to be diligent, giving all diligence. I remember when I was at school, my teacher wrote that I was diligent on one of my reports. And that wasn't always the case, I hasten to add. But on one occasion, she said I was diligent. And I said, I don't know what that means. And she said, well, it means you're hard working in this subject. And I was pleased with that. And I remembered what that word means ever since that time. But we need to be diligent in our service for the Lord. We're hardworking. We are serious. And we are hardworking in doing all the things that Peter says we should do in the verses following verse 5. Giving all diligence. This is the foundation for zeal, really. Add to your faith. Add to your faith. Improve your faith with virtue, with moral character. Add to your virtue knowledge. So important to be a learning Christian. You know, we can so often think that we are well established. We think that we know enough, perhaps, and we don't really have that thirst for knowledge that we once had. Well, Peter tells us to continue adding knowledge. And it's good, isn't it, to grow in the knowledge of the scriptures, either through reading them just for themselves, as we ought to do, learning them, memorizing them, reading commentaries, reading books or biographies, things that help us to understand more about the Lord and his word. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, self-control. So important, isn't it? We live in a land, we live in a world where people are not self-controlled, where people let loose. But the Christian must be those who has temperance, self-control, ability to control temper, ability to control what we eat, ability to control what we watch, what we see. Add to your faith knowledge, add to your knowledge temperance, and add to your temperance patience. These are very counter-cultural things, aren't they? The world is not a patient world. It's even less patient now than it used to be. And we have we've gone from 3 to 5 day delivery at great cost to next day delivery to free next day delivery to same day delivery. And lo and behold, we now have delivery within 20 minutes here in London. Yeah, I don't know if you have that there, but I think you do actually, because I was on holiday recently in Old Baran. I think we went there to there's a co-op there, and we parked in the co-op and it said free delivery within 20 minutes if you order on here or order on there. And so we're used to this concept of getting things when we want them, as we want them, when we want them. But we are to exercise patience as Christians. And you may have times in your life when you're called to exercise patience. Maybe an answer to prayer that hasn't come and you've been praying for months and you still don't have an answer from the Lord, and the Lord is withholding his answer. And one of the reasons for that will be to help you to exercise patience. And if every time we prayed, we had an answer to prayer straight away, well, we wouldn't be those who are waiting on the Lord. And so we are to add to our temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Oh, love between Christians. especially that bond of love that we have to help each other and to encourage each other and to provoke each other and to brotherly kindness, charity, love for all people, love for the lost, love and compassion for souls. Yes, add all of these things to your faith. And Peter says in verse 8, if these are things are in you and they abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in some ways, that is your bedrock. That is your foundation to being a zealous Christian, having all of those things in you. And if they are in you and they abound in you, you will be bearing fruit as a Christian. And you will have that zeal, that thirst that you need to serve the Lord as we ought to do. But if we leave off of these things, if we forget to add patience and we're not concerned to add patience and self-control, and we're not concerned to add brotherly kindness and charity, and we're not concerned with patience, and we're not concerned with godliness, well, then the conclusion is of Peter that we will be barren and we will be unfruitful, and the things of the world will take over the things of God in our life, and we will then be those who are unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we'll be very poor, really. And we will bring forth fruit, perhaps, but not much, not as much as we could. And that would be a great shame. And Peter goes further than that. In verse 9, if we lack these things, not only do we not have zeal, but we're pretty much blind. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And listen to this, he's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. We're talking here about believers. And we forget to add these things to our faith. And Peter says the conclusion to that is that you're blind. You're acting like somebody that's blind. And you cannot see, and you've forgotten that you have been purged from your old sins. You've forgotten what the Lord has done for you. You've forgotten, not reflected upon the fact that he came from heaven to earth to die for you. That he came and suffered great agony and great pain on Calvary's cross to forgive you of your sins. And we've forgotten that debt of love that we owe to him. And so Peter says it's almost like you're blind. And you may remember full well today, on Remembrance Sunday, you remember very well the conflicts of the past, and you have them in your remembrance, and yet you've not remembered really to add these things to your faith. Well, wherefore the rather, brethren, what a nice way to put it, wherefore the rather, brethren, in verse 10, give diligence, that word again, to make your calling and your election sure. Now, could your calling and your election be any more sure if you're a Christian? Well, no, it couldn't. It couldn't, because if the Lord Jesus Christ has saved you, then he will save you. And there's nothing that can stop that. Nothing will pluck you out of his hand. You cannot be a Christian and then not a Christian. You cannot fall away from the faith, the perseverance of the saints, that great doctrine. Friends, if we could fall away, we would fall away. But the Lord Jesus has prayed for us that we would not fall, that we would never be lost. And so we never will be lost. We are secure, and we are secure because we are in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the promises are made between the Father and the Son. The Father has promised to give the Son a people, and the promise between the Godhead cannot fail. If the covenant is made between God and man, man can break the covenant. But we are in covenant with the Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are his people. And so we cannot fall from the faith. And so therefore our election, if we are a Christian, can be no more sure. And yet there's a sense in which it could be. Because if you don't do these things, if these things aren't in you, if you don't add to your faith virtue and knowledge and experience and patience and all of these things, then we become those that forget. Then we become those who are barren and unfruitful, and then the devil whispers in our ears, you can't be a Christian because you don't do this and you don't do that, and you haven't done this and you haven't done that. And we begin to doubt, and we begin to lack assurance. And that's what this verse is talking about, because we want to make our election sure to ourselves. It cannot be any more sure to the Lord. It is no more uncertain because we don't do these things if we're a Christian. But we will begin to doubt. And so if we do these things, if we add these things to our faith, we make an effort, we give diligence, well, then we are those who will abound in fruitfulness. And if we abound in fruitfulness, we will be much more sure that we're Christians to ourselves than we would be than if we lacked all of these things. And so if we do have a problem with assurance, we just check ourselves. Am I adding these things to my faith? Am I being a fruitful Christian? And we ask ourselves that question first and foremost. It will be sure to other people. Oh, is that person a Christian? Oh, are they in the body? Well, sometimes it's hard to tell. And if these things are in us and abound and we're bringing forth much fruit, well, it will be obvious to other people. Oh, there's a dedicated brother. There's a dedicated sister. Your election is being made sure to yourself and to those around you. And another wonderful promise at the end of verse 10, if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Well, again, not fall away doesn't mean fall away entirely, because we could never do that. But we won't trip, we won't stumble into sin. Our besetting sins won't get the better of us. If we do these things, we shall never stumble. We could say stumble. For, verse 11, so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. An entrance shall be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And so Peter therefore concludes in verse 12, therefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. And that's an important point there, isn't it, at the end? Because Peter doesn't write to non-Christians. He doesn't write to babes in the faith. He doesn't write to those who are new to the faith. He writes to those who are established in the present truth. And you may well be an established Christian in the present truth and yet be forgetful to put on faith, virtue, patience, temperance. Forget all of those things and become barren in your Christian life. And it's a great shame, isn't it, if you're to be an established Christian and yet barren in your life. And it may be that to other people you look fruitful. It may be to other people you look like the model of a Christian because you're perhaps ticking the right boxes. And yet really you're cold in your own spiritual life. Your own prayers are cold. Your own Bible reading is a cold affair. And you don't really have the zeal that you really would like to have, because we haven't done these basic things at the beginning of the chapter. And so we think about for a moment putting on zeal, being zealous for the Lord. And I'm sure you can think back, if you're a Christian today, to your conversion and to those times in the first few months and maybe years after your conversion, you can think back to the diligence that you had in prayer. I wonder if you can remember back to that time when you were first converted and your diligence to pray and your discipline that you had to pray. And this thing was so new to us. Now, some of you will know. Some of you will be experienced in starting something with great zeal and not finishing it. An example would be for DIY or a job around the house. Perhaps we start it with great zeal and with great energy, and then we get a little bit distracted. And a job, it's halfway through, but we've got distracted and we haven't really continued with it. And it gets left under, and we may start a hobby. And we start it with great zeal, it's great excitement, a steep learning curve, and we have great fun. And yet, after a year or two, or however long, we become bored and tired, and we don't do it anymore, and it was a fleeting thing. Well, the temptation is for that to be true with our Christian life. When we start off in the Christian faith, we have great zeal in prayer, and we have great zeal for the reading of the word, a great zeal for knowledge. And I'm sure you remember when you first became a Christian, you wanted to drink in the word, understand as much of it as you possibly could. There was so much to learn, so much to understand. And I was talking to somebody about this recently, and they said, the thing is, at the beginning of your Christian life, there's so much to understand. And we have partly that zeal because we want to understand more. And maybe when we get more established in the faith, these things are becoming more familiar to us. And yet, I'm sure we can find passages in the Bible that are still a little bit unfamiliar to us if we tried. And certainly the Lord can give fresh light and fresh understanding. And so we just reflect back on our conversion and our great zeal that we had for prayer and the great zeal that we had for learning. And we think about the great zeal that we had for witness. I think this is something that is often a great burden to us when we first become a Christian, when we see what the Lord has done for us, and when we see what we're saved from and what we're saved to, and we see the ignorance and the darkness that there is in the world, and we see dear ones, loved ones, who are without the gospel and without knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and we feel for them, and we have compassion for them, and we may pray with tears because we understand their plight, and we want them to understand, we want them to be able to see, and we have a great heaviness in our hearts that parents or siblings or children are not converted. And what a shame if we lose that zeal that we had at the beginning. Oh, do not be negligent, brethren, says Peter. I will not be negligent. I don't want you to be. I want you to remember and to reflect upon all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for your soul. And so we want to stir up zeal in our hearts. And how do we do it? How do we do it now? Maybe we're at a low ebb. Maybe this morning we are lacking these things. Maybe we feel this morning like we're a little bit blind. Maybe we've forgotten that we've been purged from our old sins. And so the first thing that we do to increase zeal in our hearts is to reflect and remember. We've done it today about conflict. Well, we do it for ourselves. We spend some time meditating upon the word. It's so important. Meditation, the Puritans used to say, was the main driving force of the Christian. You see, we have the knowledge, but having the knowledge isn't really enough. The knowledge needs to change us. It needs to make an impact upon us. And so often we can read the word, but we don't chew it, that word meditation, to chew over in our minds. Sometimes the children come home and they say, we learned about meditation today. And really what they've done, they've learned about Hinduism. And they've learned that meditation is to sit in a room and be quiet and to, just to sit there and hope that you find some kind of peace in the midst of peace. Well, that's not meditation. Meditation is to think. Meditation is to chew, is to contemplate. And, you will find many exhortations in the word to meditate upon the word of God. And I find one of the most helpful things you can do to aid your meditation is to learn, is to recite, to commit to memory the Bible as much as you can. Take a verse in the week ahead, take a number of verses and commit them to your mind. In those times you have during the day when your thoughts would wander, when your mind would go to this or to that, well, we can bring it back and we can say, right, I'm going to start now with Psalm whatever, maybe, as an example. You may know some psalms by heart already. Take one, another one, and you look at the first verse, and you take that first verse and you repeat it to yourself, and you can do that all through the week. Just take the first verse, and if you kept repeating it to yourself all week, you would know by the next Sunday one verse of the scriptures that you didn't know before, and you could recite it. And the wonderful thing is that as you have it in your heart, you think about it each day and every moment of the day. In some respects, it speaks to you more, and it will add to your experience. And if you can do that with a whole psalm, well, it just comes to mind when you're in difficulty. You don't have to go to the Bible necessarily to find a passage for comfort, because it's in your head, it's in your heart. You know it already. You can reflect upon these things. And there are some psalms which are wonderful psalms to reflect upon, that speak of the death and the sorrows of the Lord Jesus. You can reflect upon Psalm 22. Have it in your heart. What the anguish of the Lord Jesus Christ. Try and learn Psalm 77. And the anguish of the Lord Jesus Christ in there. Has the Lord forgotten me? Has the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Some of these questions may apply to your life. It may be how you're feeling. And you can express it to the Lord. Say, Lord, have you forgotten me? Have you cast off forever? Psalm 88. Oh, the Lord Jesus crying out day and night. Great psalms of contemplation. And they help you to reflect on the Lord Jesus and all that he did. And you'll then remember that you've been purged from your old sins. You'll remember the debt of love that you have to him when you read the gospel passages. You know, Peter Masters here, he reads gospel passages often in the gospel services. And some people say to him, I really like it. I really like listening to those gospel passages. Even established, well-established believers, they like listening to the narrative of the gospels and how the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with people and how he answered people and the miracles that he did. And I think sometimes in our devotional reading, we can maybe go to the epistles and we maybe don't read those gospel passages as often as we should. And it's a shame, isn't it, that we often only read the passages about the Lord Jesus' birth at Christmas. And, you know, we can get into that habit. Well, we need to learn and understand and read the Bible as it is and reflect on those great passages about his birth and reflect on the great passages of his teaching and how he answered the scribes and the Pharisees and how he dealt with people in different circumstances and how he healed them to show he can heal our souls. And so reflecting, growing in knowledge is so important that we come to understand more about him each day. And it will be a great blessing to us. You see, you know, sometimes Satan might say to you, he might whisper in your ear, you haven't grown in grace in this last year. You haven't grown in grace. And you might think to yourself, no, I haven't, have I? I haven't. I haven't been diligent in this and I haven't been diligent in that. But if you learn a part of the scriptures, if you learn a psalm that you didn't know before, well, there's a great benefit to that because I know, you may say, I didn't know this psalm this time last year. I didn't know anything about it. I had no knowledge of it at all. And I've remembered it and I've learned it and I've meditated upon it. And through that psalm, I've learned this and I've learned this and I've learned this. It's helped me in my experience of this and this and this. It helps me to explain this circumstance and that circumstance. And you can comfort yourselves with it in the moment. And you can go to Psalm 77, those searching questions. Has the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has he forgotten to be gracious? Oh, and then those wonderful words. This is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. And these things help us. They comfort us. And we look back and we think, well, I didn't know that psalm this time last year. And so I have grown. I have understood more. I have developed in my faith. And I have understood how the Lord deals with me better, perhaps, than I did this time last year. And so we need to be diligent and zealous in increasing our knowledge of the scriptures and through the scriptures, all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for our souls. And so we be diligent in that. Brethren, stir up zeal in your witness. It's hard. It's hard to be zealous. But you know, I remember when I first went into an office, perhaps in 2003, my first office job, I was zealous to say something. I was zealous to get in early that I was a Christian. I was zealous to tell people that I'd been to church. And zealous in with every opportunity, really, I could to bring it back to something spiritual. And I know people that do that when they're in their office, even now. And, you know, honestly, we can be less zealous 20 years later to do that. I'm not saying we don't do it, but maybe we're less zealous to do it. It's a bit more difficult, perhaps, as we get older. We get to love ease a bit more. And maybe we leave off to be zealous as we once were. Oh, we'll still witness. And I take it we still want to say words for the Lord and still want to use opportunities, but perhaps not with quite the same zeal that we did when we first became a Christian. And it's a challenge to us. We have to exhort ourselves. We have to be those who pray for zeal, for a great zeal for the lost. And as we reflect upon these things, we remember that we've been purged from our old sins, but we remember that the Lord Jesus ever lives, and he is patient to this world, and he is because he wants people to come to repentance. And we pray, Lord, grant me that zeal that I need to be somebody who wants to speak for you at every opportunity in my workplace. And it is difficult. Oh, Lord, help me, especially now, because there is even more antagonism, as it were, to the gospel. We have this a lot of opposition, but we pray for opportunities, and people will come to us. People will know when, if they know we're a Christian, we will have that opportunity, and we will be have opportunities to speak, and maybe even to invite people, or to grant them, give them some direction to some website or a book or something like that. We have opportunities, but we need to be zealous in taking them and zealous in praying for them. And we ask ourselves, is it a great concern of mine to have zeal for those around me? Or am I lazy? You know, Peter, Paul, he wrote to the Romans, and in chapter 13 of the book of Romans, he writes this: it is high time for you to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And so, friends, it may be that we're asleep, and we need to be aroused. We need to be provoked to great zeal for the Lord. Well, zeal in prayer, zeal in the reading of the word and growing in the word, zeal for witness, and that goes for our church as well. Zeal for being, if we can, at the prayer meeting. Zeal for the Bible study. And often it can be difficult, can't it, after long days at work. And there are many, many reasons why we might not be able to do all that we want to do and go to all the meetings that we can. And there may be many legitimate reasons for that. And there are, of course. But if we can be, how we should be zealous for the work of the church and the local church, and zealous to reach the community, and zealous for the lost in our community. Well, Peter, as long as he was in his tabernacle, wanted to stir up the people by putting them in remembrance. And moreover, in verse 15, endeavored that we may be able, after his decease, after his departure and his death, to have these things always in remembrance. And the reason for that is because in verse 16, he has not followed cunningly devised fables when they made known to us the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but he was an eyewitness of his majesty. He was an eyewitness to the majesty and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ on the mountain there. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And Peter in verse 19 says, what you have is a more sure word of prophecy. We don't have people speaking as prophets in our day, but we do have a more sure word of prophecy, the Bible. And we do well if we take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Well, I put before you this chapter, a wonderful chapter in the book of Peter, and the Lord Jesus, God himself, has given unto us all things that pertain to life. And so often we can be dragged down with the cares of the world. And the trouble is, if we leave off zeal, if we leave off to do these things, to add to our faith, all the things that Peter exhorts us to add to our faith, we can become those who let in the world. We can be those who love ease too much. We can be those who watch things that we shouldn't watch. We've become ill-disciplined. We've become desensitized to sin, perhaps a little bit too much. And so Peter says, give diligence, brethren. Add to your faith. And if you do, an entrance shall be ministered unto you. You will be sure of your salvation. You will be sure of your election. Other people will see you and give thanks because of the work of the Lord that they see in you. And it will be great glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we will have fruitful Christians, those who are zealous in making known the gospel, those who are zealous in our private lives as well as our public lives, and those who are zealous to be adding to our faith each day that we live, all of the things that Peter asks us to, exhorts us to add to our faith. And if we do these things, you will never trip. You will never stumble. That's a wonderful promise. And if we're tripping and stumbling into our besetting sins, well, we need to come back. We need to confess our sins. The Lord will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. And he will establish us and put us on that rock again, the Lord Jesus Christ, and will show us a better way. So friends, let's add to our faith. Let's increase in our knowledge. Let's meditate upon the word and ask the Lord for zeal to serve him when our tendency is to be the opposite. Zeal to remember when our tendency is to forget. And zeal to love him and serve him when our nature is to want to live and serve ourselves. Well, may the Lord help us. May the Lord bless us. And may he use us for his glory and name's sake. Amen.